What's up, what's up, what's up, y'all? It's your girl Ash, y'all already know, and welcome back. Let me get comfortable, y'all. Welcome back to another episode of Black Girl Interrupted. Y'all already know, your girl Ash. I'm telling y'all, like, y'all really just don't understand, like, how proud I am, how consistent I have been with my episodes. Like, I am just ecstatic that I've been consistent with my episodes. Yes, I had a couple of times that I was supposed to show up and didn't, but it's cool. I'm here. I'm making up for it. But again, y'all, welcome to another episode of Black Girl Interrupted. Of course, y'all know it's your girl, Ash, bringing y'all another hot topic that has come across the headlines. Oh, Lord. I've done episodes with regards to people being killed by the police that are suffering from mental illness, that are going through a mental health crisis. I remember 2 years ago, I did a show on Patrick Warren Sr., who was a minister from Texas whose family called 911. He was in mental distress and ended up with 3 bullets to the chest. Why does this keep happening? You know, why? Anytime there's a mental distress call, police are called out. Why is there not a mental health team that comes out to assist in these situations? So tonight I will be discussing, excuse me, y'all, forgive me. Oh. Hey, fool. There go my baby. She say my lips are lipping, girl. That blew her. Yes, blue. I was going to do green because we are going to be talking about mental health. But I said, you know what, blue, I'm just feeling kind of blue today. I'm just, and not in a bad way. Let me say that. I'm not feeling blue in a bad way. But I don't know. I was just kind of feeling some blue. So tonight, I do want to discuss Melissa Ann Perez, who was the 46-year-old Latina woman in San Antonio that was shot by 3 San Antonio police officers, and they are now being charged with murder. So y'all already know what I do before I start any show. I always do a mental health check-in. Again, today is Thursday. Happy Thursday. We are one day away from the weekend. How are y'all feeling today? I will say, for me, mentally, I'm good. I will say that these last few days, let me back up. These last few weeks have been really beautiful for me. I really was expecting Father's Day to be a little difficult, but I made it through. Because I am now coming to the realization that my father's not coming back. Death is a part of life. And we're all going to go one day. I'm just adjusting to him not being here in the physical presence. Let me say that. So I am adjusting to that. I'm adjusting to my godmother not being here. I miss her more than life itself. I would do anything just to hug and love on her. But I know her and my dad are watching over me, and to my niece, like, I miss her so much. And I know they're with me in spirit. So spiritually, mentally, I'm in a beautiful place. I'm excited again for the remainder of 2023 and what's going to come about. But again, y'all already knew I do my mental health check-ins. What did my girl say? She said, blues clues. And she says, I love you in real life. I love you in real life. I really do. You have been phenomenal to me. And I couldn't even find the words to even say thank you. Like, you've just done, and you've gone above and beyond for me more than anything. So y'all already know what I do before I get started with my shows. I always play something empowering, encouraging, uplifting. And this is definitely going to be needed for tonight. So here we go. And then once the video is over, we will jump back into tonight's conversation. So here we go.
I don't care how good you are. I don't care how talented you are. I don't care how much you work on yourself. There are some times when things aren't going to go right. There are times when anything that can happen will happen.
Y'all got to bear with me. That was the wrong one. Here we go, y'all. Here we go. Here we go.
There's two sides of pain. There's one side of pain that's the suffering and the discomfort side of pain. But then there's another side of pain that's called effort. It's called glory. And if you never tap into it, it's because the first time you felt that you backed off. The first time you felt, that burn. The first time you felt that it's too much. And we rationalize with ourselves to where we automatically stop. That's why a bunch of us give up so much in life so quickly. But suppose I told you the greatest pain of my life is the reason I'm standing here today. See, sometimes we think the pain is what controls us. It's actually our subconscious mind that if we ever tapped into that, that's what dictates most of our lives.
And literally what I've learned in these moments is that I have to stop listening to myself and I have to start talking to myself. I'm like, Rich, you're great. I'm like looking in the mirror like, you can do this. Rich, you can handle this. Rich, this is not a big deal. Rich, this is going to pass. You're amazing. Rich, this too shall pass.
You've got to find ways to increase your sense of self-appreciation, because if you don't, you're bombarded with negative stuff every day that beats you down, and you will find yourself unconsciously engaged in self-destructive behavior. If you don't program yourself, life will program you.
You got to get grounded. You got to train your mind to serve you. Just make up your mind. This is not going to control you.
You have got to make a declaration that this is what you stand for. You're standing up for your dreams. You're standing up for peace of mind. You're standing up for health. You want it, and you're going to go all out to have it. It's not going to be easy. When you want to change, it's not easy. If it were in fact easy, everybody would do it. But if you're serious, you'll go all out and say, in spite of this, I'm in control here. I'm going to turn this situation around. I'm not going to sit back and moan and cry over what happened and what went wrong and who did what. I'm going to do something about this situation.
When God gives you a dream, the dream will always be tested. The pressure in your life right now has a purpose. It's not crushing you. It's pushing what's on the inside of you out. It shows you who you are.
It's a dog fight. It hadn't been easy. It's a dog fight. The road hadn't been success. Like, it's just a paved road. And like, each he go this way. It's been rough. It's been crooked. It's been hard. But I've made up in my mind that I will get a reward for the pain that I go through. I will not stop in the middle of the process. I will not be defeated. I will not be destroyed. I will take everything that happens in my life and I will allow the pain to push me to greatness. You will not break me. You will not stop me. You will not defeat me. The only way I lose is if I quit. It's going to be a dogfight.
I choose to fight back.
Life is rough. You can allow it to destroy you, or you can allow it to build you up. Draw the line, ladies and gentlemen, and just say enough is enough.
Get out of that narrow-mindedness. Get out of that defeated mentality. Get away from that circle. Get away from those people that don't wish you any good. Get away from those people that don't want you to succeed. Get out of the tent. Get out!
There's nothing as powerful as the human spirit. You can't destroy it. You can pervert it, but you can't destroy it.
If you lose the job, keep the faith. If you lose the spouse, keep the faith. If you have to downsize, keep the faith. If you have to move in with your mama, keep the faith. If you're at your wits' end, keep the faith. If you have to catch the bus, keep the faith. If you have to dumb, keep the faith. If you get sick, keep the faith. If you lose your kidneys, keep the faith. If you got heart trouble, keep the faith. You might not get a new heart, but you gotta keep your faith.
If you can't fly, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. But by all means, keep moving.
All right. So again, y'all, welcome to another episode of Black Girl Interrupted. Of course, with your girl, Ash. Again, I hope everyone is having a great Thursday. Again, we are just one day away from the weekend. What are y'all planning on doing? I don't know. We'll see. We will see. Again, drop in the comments. Let me know how you're feeling mentally. Y'all already know every episode I always do my mental health check-in because I have to make sure y'all are good. You know, not only mentally, but spiritually, emotionally, physically. And again, at any given point in time that you need me to pray with you, anything on your heart, your chest, and you want to get it off, y'all know I'm always here. My DMs are always open. And if you have my number, y'all know you could always pick up the phone and call, text, whatever, and I'm here. You'll know I'm here to show up and just be here and let you know you're not on your journey alone. So jumping into tonight's conversation, I am going to be talking about, I have two cases, as a matter of fact, that I'm going to be speaking about tonight. This first one is about Melissa Ann Perez, who was killed for being mentally ill. She was a 46-year-old mother that resided in San Antonio, Texas, in which police officers were called out to the residence. Witnesses say there was a woman that was going around that was cutting the wires to a fire security alarm or something. She was cutting some wires in an apartment complex. Officers did speak with the lady. They collected all her information, and then she went into the house. And at which point, these police officers were trying to coerce her into coming out of her home, to the point where they hopped over the balcony of her apartment and pulled the screen off the window, at which point, on the video, I am going to play the video. I do want to let you know there is a trigger warning, but you'll see exactly what transpired and what prompted these three police officers to fire these fatal shots into the body of, again, 46-year-old Melissa Ann Perez. After the video, then we'll just jump back into it.
Breaking news first at 10, three San Antonio police officers charged with murder after they reportedly shot and killed a woman on the southwest side.
In just the last 40 minutes, Police Chief William McManus announcing the arrest of these three officers, Sergeant Alfred Flores and Officers Alessad Alejandro and Nathaniel Villalobos. The chief says they have been suspended without pay.
Now, just moments ago, McManus held a news conference saying the shooting was not consistent with SAPD's policies and training.
SAPD also releasing video of this morning's shooting that show what unfolded at that woman's apartment. And we want to warn you, the video you are about to see is disturbing.
You ain't got no warrant.
Oh, okay, watch out. Go, get him. Hey, watch out.
Ken's 5's Alicia Nieves is following the story for us tonight. She joins us live now from Public Safety Headquarters with these latest developments. Alicia?
It was a swift decision by SAPD's homicide unit. In a matter of hours after reviewing the body camera footage from this morning's shooting, all three officers who fired their guns are now facing murder charges. Take a look. This all started shortly after midnight at an apartment complex called Rosemont at Miller's Pond. This is off of Old Pearsall Road. Police got a call about a woman who was destroying a fire alarm. When officers arrived, they say 46-year-old Melissa Perez appeared to be having a mental health crisis. Chief McManus, who reviewed the body camera video today, said the officers tried to get Perez into a patrol car, but she ran back into her apartment. The chief said as the woman was talking to officers through a window, she threw a glass candle at police. Officers ordered the woman to come outside, but she refused. That's when the chief says officers jumped over the woman's patio railing and she began swinging a hammer, hitting the window. One officer fired his weapon, but he didn't hit the woman. But when the woman advanced toward the window again, all officers opened fire.
Hey, watch out.
Perez died at the scene. The chief said to reporters tonight his officers made the wrong decision.
The shooting officer's actions were not consistent with SAPD's policy and training, and they placed themselves in a situation where they used deadly force, which was not reasonable given all the circumstances.
The three suspended officers charged with murder have a combined 20 years with the San Antonio Police Department. Chief McManus ended tonight's press conference expressing his condolences to the victim's family. We're live at Public Safety Headquarters. Alicia Niavis, KENS 5.
Alicia, thanks so much. We'll, of course, stay on top of that story, and we have the latest right now at KENS5.com.
So again, 46-year-old Melissa Ann Perez was shot and killed by the three police officers who have now been charged with murder. Again, those three police officers charged with murder is Officer Elazar Alejandro, who is 28, Sergeant Alfred Flores, who is 45, and then you have Officer Nathaniel Villalobos, who's 27. And as you heard, between the three, they've been with the San Antonio Police Department for 20 years. Again, initially, they were called out stating that there was a woman that was out cutting the wires to a fire security alarm. They spoke with the woman, collected the woman's information. She allegedly ran into the house. And at which time they hopped over the balcony, snatched the screen off the door. And you could hear her in the video telling them, you do not have a warrant. She brandished a hammer in which she threw. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe it broke the window. But the way the police chief described, there was a TV, a wall, and something that separated her and the officers. And at which point when they saw her with the hammer, they released fire, killing Melissa Ann Perez at the scene. Well, she passed away on the scene. So my question is, again, tonight we're talking about Melissa Ann Perez, who was actually suffering a mental health crisis and was killed. Again, I've had conversations about this very same topic. Again, I spoke about Patrick Warren Sr. I spoke on the young man in Houma, Louisiana, who was having a mental health crisis, whose mother called 911, and the son ended up dead. We see this happen far, far, far too often. And I guess the million-dollar question is, why continue to send these police officers out to these distress calls and they're not properly trained to handle situations as such? I know certain states have a mental health team that police officers can call when they have been called to scenes such as Ms. Perez, who was having a mental health crisis. And again, I just don't understand. When police officers come out, they're already hyped. They already come in on 100. So when you interact or when you arrive at a location where you're dealing with a person that is going through a mental health crisis, you have to be properly trained to know how to de-escalate that. At no point in this situation with Ms. Perez did they even try to de-escalate. No tasers were pulled. They automatically wanted to shoot. And as the police chief said, they weren't in any imminent danger. What they did was not the protocol for San Antonio Police Department. So why does this keep happening? Again, we see this all the time. There have been countless stories where, excuse me, y'all, had something stuck in my throat, where Give me 1 second. Hold on. All right, y'all. My apologies for that. Something got caught in my throat. But we see these cases continuously. I was looking at some statistics in, you know, preparation for discussing this. And it says people with untreated mental illness are 16 times more likely to be killed during a police encounter than other civilians approached or stopped by law enforcement. Why is that? Like, why are these officers not being properly trained to handle these situations, and their recourse is to shoot? We just saw this in Los Angeles. 3 black men killed. Then there was another story, I want to say it was in Baltimore. I know last year there was a story in Houma, Louisiana. There's been, you see the situation with, oh God, y'all, I cannot think of his name, but he was shot while laying in the middle of the street. He was having a mental health crisis and he was killed. So again, what I don't understand is why keep sending these police officers out to these situations and they're not properly trained, or they're not calling in a mental health crisis team to come in to assist with the situation. I'm not understanding that. Again, I just, when I tell you I'm so tired of doing these stories, but it's necessary. It's imperative for us to continue to have these conversations because mental illness is at an all-time high. Between the pandemic, between the police brutality cases, this is starting to rise. Between the bullying, mental illness is starting to rise. And here we are, we're still trying to handle mental health situations. And now we're having these police officers that are being called to these mental health distress, that are being summoned to these mental health distress calls, and these people end up dead. It makes zero sense to me. I think my biggest concern or my biggest issue is when it comes to mental health, there's not enough providers. There are not enough people out here that are able to go out and assist. We see again, y'all, we see this all the time. We see this every time you turn on the news. You see a person killed, suffering a mental health crisis. You saw the young man in L.A. who was related to, I believe he was a cousin of one of the founders of the Black Lives Matter, was having a mental health crisis, and they killed him. So here's a mental health expert that wants to weigh in on police coming to these mental health distress calls. And then I want to get back into the conversation.
First at 10, new updates about 3 San Antonio police officers charged with a woman's murder.
Right now, officers Elizada Alejandro and Nathaniel Villalobos and Sergeant Alfred Flores are all out on bond. And in the last half hour, we just learned that former Bexar County District Attorney Nico LaHood will be representing Officer Villalobos.
Body camera video shows the officers jumping the railing to Melissa Bettis' apartment patio and opening her window Friday morning. Police say she threw a candle at the officers and approached them with a hammer before all 3 opened fire.
And in a statement today, District Attorney Joe Gonzalez said investigators with his office's Civil Rights Division will fully review the evidence and prepare the cases for presentation to the grand jury.
Police Chief William McManus says Perez was appearing to have a mental health episode and the use of deadly force was not reasonable.
KINZ 5 reporter Megan Reyna is live outside public safety headquarters after talking with an expert about why crisis intervention training is critical. Megan.
I spoke with a licensed professional counselor with Family Services who's had a history with training law enforcement in the past. He says this department is known for its extensive crisis management training, which is why he's left wondering why that training wasn't put to use Friday morning.
Law enforcement has a responsibility, which is why they do so much training regarding it, to respond to those episodes in a safe and caring manner.
But Police Chief William McManus says what happened to Melissa Perez was inconsistent with the department's policy and training. Licensed professional counselor Phil Inostrosa Travers says when dealing with someone in the midst of a mental health episode, communication is key. Trying to talk with them, reason with them, and if that's not working.
Another method in a situation like this might be simply to withdraw. She's not in danger of hurting herself or anyone inside the home. Have other resources come to the scene.
Perez's family says she's been diagnosed with schizophrenia.
They may respond with aggression if they're having an episode.
Inostrosa Travers says that episode could include delusions and hallucinations.
And they may perceive situations as highly threatening were very dangerous to themselves when in fact they may not be.
Which is why he says knowing how to de-escalate during a mental health episode is crucial.
When it comes to responding, compassion, I think, is the key.
San Antonio police have a mental health unit that's been around since 2008. Now tonight I did reach out to the department to learn how many officers are on that unit and if any of them responded to that crime scene Friday. I have not heard back. Reporting from Public Safety Headquarters, Megan Reyna, KINZ 5.
So again, so you hear that they actually have a department that these police officers could have called to come out to assist with the situation. And exactly what that mental health expert stated is accurate. Because if you see a lot of these videos where police are responding to these mental health distress calls, they already come on 100. So when you're dealing with a person that is battling or is in a mental health crisis, you got to be mindful with how you approach the situation. There's, and I'm not going to get emotional this show, but they are already aggravated. The person that is going through the mental health crisis, they're already aggravated. So when you come to a situation and you're meeting their energy, you're not even trying to de-escalate the situation. It's almost like you're trying to entice it. It's like throwing kerosene on a fire that's trying to go out. So it's like I just had the word and my mind literally just went blank. But here you are, you're dealing with a person, again, that's having a mental health crisis, that's already aggressive. Police officers already come on 100, not all, but some, because this is what we see in a majority of these cases. You see, with Ms. Perez, we saw this same incident that escalated with Patrick Warren Sr. He was not aggressive, he had no weapon, but somehow he ended up with 3 bullets to the chest. Again, some of these police departments have mental experts. They have departments where you can call and have someone come out that is properly trained. But that goes back to the responsibility of these police departments. Are you ensuring and properly training your police officers on how to handle these situations so they do not result in death. Because we're seeing this far too often. Again, I did this story on Patrick Warren Sr. 2 years ago. I've done another story on another gent. I can't recall his name. I've even talked about the women that have suffered mental health crisis and have died at the hands of police officers. So my question is, or one of the things that I want to know, is how mental illness affects police shooting fatalities. I've told you, and I've showed you that people with untreated mental illness are 16 times more likely to be killed during a police encounter than other civilians approached or stopped by law enforcement. 16 times more than your average person that's being pulled over maybe for a traffic stop. Maybe law enforcement is called because the person won't leave a restaurant. This is what we're seeing on a regular. Again, we're already trying to find a balance with mental health. Now you have to add on the fact that people that are going through the crisis are now becoming police shooting fatalities. When empathy and compassion goes a long way. Again, I'm not understanding why. Law enforcement, why are you approaching these scenes on 100? I know when you call in, I know when a person calls 911, I know when I know dispatch is telling you, hey, we have a mental health distress call at 123 ABC Lane. Y'all know the situation. So my honest opinion, why don't you just call and have the mental health department en route to meet you there? So that way we don't end up with more of these fatalities. That's my thoughts on that. That's my opinions. And I'm only speaking as a person that suffers from mental illness. I thank God, you know, I've never had the police called on me, but I'm seeing this. I'm witnessing this. And it just really saddens me that mental health, it's almost like y'all are not taking mental health seriously. And this extensive training, that falls on the department. That falls on the city. It's up to you as a police department for y'all to ensure that these officers are properly trained on how to handle and assist these mental health distress calls. I remember, I want to say maybe that was early this year, maybe late last year, a woman in Oklahoma had locked herself in a bathroom, was having a mental health crisis. And they were antagonizing the woman. These Oklahoma police officers were antagonizing the woman. And I know for a fact that Oklahoma has a mental health response team that could be called out to assist in situations when you're dealing with someone that's having a mental health crisis. So how mental illness affects these police shooting fatalities? Because they're being killed 16 times more than any other person, any other civilian that's approached or stopped by law enforcement. So is that the same amount of people that become fatalities at traffic stops? I'm a little curious about that. You know, looking at Miss Perez's situation and these three officers being charged with murder, what about the other police officers that have done this that have gotten away with murder? Because that's exactly what it is. This woman posed no threat to you She posed no threat to herself. But for you to hop over, that's the issue that I have. For you to hop over the balcony, for what? For what? To me, I think in that moment when he hopped over that balcony and snatched the screen off of her window, you escalated the situation. You poured kerosene on a fire that was almost extinguished. Because again, this woman was diagnosed with being schizophrenic. Schizophrenics, and y'all correct me if I'm wrong, I believe they feel like people are talking to them. They hear voices. And I could be wrong on schizophrenia. Let me see. But I'm almost positive when it comes to schizophrenia, I believe they hear voices. So when in that moment, when Ms. Perez saw this officer jump over her balcony, it scared her. It frightened her. So she got even more aggressive, or she got even more heightened, like the situation got heightened even more. And I think she was in a point where she was really trying to relax and calm down, because she was telling them, you don't have a warrant. You don't have a warrant. You can't come into my home. You don't have a warrant. And so when he hopped over and you snatched the screen off the window, now she goes into defense mode. But again, what warranted three police officers, to fire shots at one time? Three police officers. Let me calm down before my blood pressure gets up. Because again, it did not take three police officers to take this woman down. Three police officers shot her, fired multiple rounds at Miss Melissa Ann Perez. Three officers fired shots. Three. And again, their names: Officer Elazar Alejandro, who is 28. You have Sergeant Alfred Flores, who is 45. And then you have Officer Nathaniel Villalobos, who's 27. That in a combination, they've been on the force 20 years, all three in total. Three officers for one woman. Let me take a deep breath on this, because y'all, this really touched me. Because I could only imagine what that woman was feeling in that moment. She's battling this mental health crisis that she's having. Then you have these officers that are antagonizing you. Maybe is that the word I want to use? Antagonizing her. To the point where she went into defense mode, to the point where she grabbed a hammer, to the point where three police officers discharged their weapons at one time, killing Melissa Ann Perez, who had just recently been diagnosed with schizophrenia. I just pray justice is served for this, for the family. Because it absolutely did not warrant that use of force. And again, San Antonio has a department for mental health that they could have called. They could have called and said, hey, we have a person out here who we believe may or may not be going through a mental health crisis. We need you out here. But again, they didn't approach the situation. They approached very aggressively. Again, where is the empathy for people these days? It's almost like this world lacks the empathy. You came in aggressive. You were speaking to her. You got her information. She went into the house. And it just snowballed from there. It went down from there. You have this woman whose life has been violently taken and a family left with a lot of questions. Will we get, will justice be served? I hope so. I hope and pray that justice is served for the family of Ms. Perez. But again, you heard from the mental health expert itself that you have to approach these situations with empathy. You have to be calm and you have to be patient with a person that is going through a mental health crisis, because when they are in that mode, they come into, they become very defensive, very combative, because they feel like you're trying to attack them. So they know to, I have to protect myself. I have to go into defense mode. That's what they have to do. And it's very sad that, unfortunately, this is not happening in these situations. Again, we're having more mental illness, distress, fatalities than anything. Oh, hi, honey. I hope you're having a good night at work. Thank you. Oh, you like the blue? Thank you, sweetie. I love you, honey. Anyway, bae, but again, I really hope you're having a good night at work, and I love you. Again, welcome everybody to another episode of Black Girl Interrupted. Tonight, I am talking about Melissa Ann Perez, the 46-year-old woman that was killed in San Antonio at the hands of the San Antonio Police Department. Again, she was 46 years old. She was suffering a mental health crisis. And these three police officers proceeded to jump over her balcony, snatch the screen off of her window, and they shot her. All three police officers discharged their weapons, killing Melissa Ann Perez. So again, the million-dollar question is, why? Why is this consistently happening? Why are we seeing more and more cases and more stories of this? I understand as a police officer, it's a stressful job. I get it. But this is what you signed up for. So if you can't come in and try to de-escalate a mental illness, a mental distress call, please call somebody that can. Call somebody that could come in and assess and address and de-escalate, so that way we have no more fatalities. Because that's what's happening. Again, you look at the situation in LA. Three men that were having mental health crisis were killed by the Los Angeles Police Department. One of the gentlemen I'm going to speak about tonight, and I hope this reaches his wife, because I know she's still fighting for justice for her husband, who was suffering a mental health crisis and was killed. And now, I believe the chief is investigating these cases. This is in LA, Los Angeles, California. But again, we're talking about how mental illness affects police shooting fatalities. I really think, and this is just my honest opinion, more funding needs to go into mental health and mental health training, and less of funding going to these different countries. I'm not understanding why we're not taking care of our own here in the United States. I have seen funding being lessened when it comes to mental health, which is my next question. Why are these programs designed for mental health issues so underfunded? Why? Y'all know mental illness is at an all-time high right now. Do y'all not understand? Suicide is the third leading cause of death in the Black community. And again, I'm not saying it doesn't happen in white communities. I'm not saying it doesn't happen in Asian communities. I'm not saying it doesn't happen in the Latino community. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying, suicide, y'all, is at an all-time high. Here we are again. We're trying to get a hold of mental health because we're seeing suicide rates increase. And then you add on the fact that you have these police brutality cases. We had the pandemic. All that is playing a major factor in the mental health crisis. But yet, the world is not trying to address the issue. Y'all would rather send money over to these other countries instead of helping your own. And what I'm about to say, y'all can get on your soapbox all you want. But all the money that they spent trying to find this Titan submarine that went to try to go look at the Titanic, you could have utilized that money and put that towards mental health. There's so many things that y'all could do to allocate funding towards mental health instead of giving it to these foreign countries. We need to address the homeless issue here in the United States. You won't give funding to them. You won't help them. But mental illness is at an all-time high right now. People are stressed. People have been diagnosed or misdiagnosed or underdiagnosed with mental illness. And they're going through these crises. Police officers are being called out. Police officers come in at 100. And someone ends up dead. Why? I need to understand, why are these programs designed for mental health issues so underfunded? Why? Why are you not trying to fix and address a problem that is plaguing America? But y'all would rather utilize that money and spend it elsewhere. Y'all would rather spend the money on unnecessary things instead of fixing and address, you know what, let me not even say fixing, but addressing the mental health crisis here in the United States. Then you have these police officers again that are not properly trained to handle when a person is in mental distress. No empathy, no compassion, no understanding. I pray for the United States. I pray for the mental. I pray that if you are suffering a mental health crisis, I pray that I don't have to sit up here and tell your story. We need to do better. We absolutely need to do better because, again, I'm not understanding why these programs are not being properly funded. I just don't understand. And then the next question. Should officers be called in to handle mental illness situations? Drop in the comments and y'all let me know. What do you think? How do y'all feel? Do you feel if a person is going through a mental health crisis, should they call the police? Should they call the police? Me? I'm going to be honest with you. I would rather you call a mental health crisis team versus a police officer. Because again, these police officers are coming, they don't care. They're overworked, they're stressed. So they're coming in and they're taking the anger and frustration out on the person. I've watched multiple videos, countless videos. And I've seen the way these police officers arrive. They come with their hands already on their guns. What seems to be the problem? What? Dispatch has already told you. Dispatch has told you, hey, we have a person here that's going through a mental health, that's in a mental health distress right now. It's a mental health distress situation. That in your mind, as a human, should say, you know what? We need to approach this with caution and some empathy. I remember the story, again, I'm not sure if it was in Baltimore, where a family called because the woman's husband was having a mental health distress and they say within 15 seconds of the police arriving, this young man was killed. And when they played the dispatch call, the 911 operator call, you hear the wife on the phone says he has a history. It's been documented that he suffers from mental illness. So you know this. But these police officers come to these situations already heightened. They get out of the car. Hannah's already on the gun. You don't even know. You're just getting out of the car. You haven't even assessed the situation. If you have a mental health crisis team that could come out and assist, I advise that you call them. If this is too much for you to handle, call somebody that has been properly trained to assist in these situations. And maybe we won't have any more mental health police fatalities. That's all I'm saying. So in my honest opinion, absolutely not. I do not feel like officers should be called to handle mental illness situations. I just don't believe they should. Again, if the state or the police department has a crisis team, please call them. Please call that crisis team to come out and assist you, so another person doesn't end up dead by no fault of their own. By no fault of their own. So that, I think I just answered my own question as to why these programs designed for mental health issues are so underfunded, because they would rather allocate the money for bull than for what it really needs to be allocated for. Because a lot of these mental health facilities, they cut the funding to these facilities to help these patients. Such a sad freaking world we live in. But hey, welcome to America. But again, to the family of Melissa Ann Perez, my thoughts and prayers and condolences are with you in your time of bereavement. Miss Melissa should still be here. That situation should not have escalated and went as far as it did to where it resulted in death. And now these three police officers have been charged with murder. Only thing we could do is just sit and wait and be patient and pray that justice is served for the family of Miss Melissa Ann Perez. Love and prayers to her daughter. So sad. So now I move on to Mr. Takar Smith. Takar Smith is from Los Angeles, California. His wife, Nettie, called Natty. I'm so sorry, Natty. Called a police officer due to the husband experiencing a mental health crisis. And Mr. Takar ended up dead. I do have the video. It's only about 2 minutes long, 2 minutes and like 35, 40 seconds long. I want to play it and then I want to jump back into the conversation about these fatalities as a result of being mentally ill at the hands of police officers. Here we go.
There have been three fatal police killings in Los Angeles in 1 week. Today, the family of Takar Smith is calling for justice as the police chief fights to keep his job. Fox 11's Susan Hirasuna joining us live in downtown L.A. with their story. Susan.
Chief Michael Moore was not made available to us today, but Wednesday he did express his deep concerns about those three deadly force incidents. The one that is probably most troubling is the case of Takar Smith, because from the beginning on January 2nd, his wife told police that he was mentally ill.
She mentioned there was a knife in the kitchen, but that's it. No other weapons in the apartment.
I wanted the police to help me, and they failed, and they really failed me.
Shamika Smith wanted her husband violating a protective order out of her home. She did not want him dead.
She tried to prevent this from happening by literally walking to the police station and showing them video instead of just calling them and saying, hey, we're having a mental illness crisis.
But she did tell police Takar Smith was mentally ill multiple times. And body-worn camera video shows a nearly 15-minute encounter with the...
There have been three fatal police killings in Los Angeles in 1 week. Today, the family of Takar Smith is calling for justice as the police chief fights to keep his job. Fox 11's Susan Hirasuna joining us live in downtown L.A. with their story. Susan.
Chief Michael Moore was not made available to us today, but Wednesday he did express his deep concerns about those three deadly force incidents. The one that is probably most troubling is the case of Takar Smith, because from the beginning on January 2nd, his wife told police that he was mentally ill.
She mentioned there was a knife in the kitchen, but that's it. No other weapons in the apartment.
I wanted the police to help me, and they failed, and they really failed me.
Shamika Smith wanted her husband violating a protective order out of her home. She did not want him dead.
She tried to prevent this from happening by literally walking to the police station and showing them video instead of just calling them and saying, hey, we're having a mental illness crisis.
But she did tell police Takar Smith was mentally ill multiple times. And body-worn camera video shows a nearly 15-minute encounter with the 45-year-old that shows him at times cooperative.
I need you to relax. Just talk to me, okay? Relax, just talk to me, okay?
And other times exhibiting signs of a mental break from reality.
Like your mama Marco Demino telling you right now.
Smith used a chair and a bite defensively.
Knife.
But it was the kitchen knife that turned the situation for him. Officers used both pepper spray and multiple tasers to get control. Smith dropped the knife, but when he picked it up and raised it over his head, officers fired.
I'm Takar's mother, and he needed help. He didn't need to be shot up.
Wednesday, Chief Michael Moore expressed his concerns about Smith's death and two others at the hands of his officers. In Smith's case, there was plenty of time to call for a mental health support team.
At no point during this call was our mental evaluation unit called for assistance or support, or one of our system-wide mental assessment teams, also known as SMART.
Smith is the father to six children. The youngest is 8.
Mental health runs in every color.
That's right.
But why only blacks getting shot?
Well, to some, Chief Michael Moore seemed more forthcoming than usual about these three deadly force incidents. He is waiting for Karen Bass to make a decision as mayor as to whether he will serve another term. She is known to have a different attitude about the LAPD than her predecessor. Reporting live in downtown LA, Susan Hirasuna, Fox 11 News.
Let me see this. Let me take a deep breath. Let me take this in. Let me soak this in. And I'm sorry, y'all. It was a glitch. So I had to stop and restart the video. Like, it had glitched for just a quick moment. So that's why y'all saw the video twice. So my apologies for that, first and foremost. But the family of Takar Smith, my heart, prayers, and condolences go out to you in your time of bereavement. Number two, the same situation with Miss Melissa Ann Perez resulted with Mr. Takar Smith. There was a mental health team that could have and should have been called in this situation. The wife went to the police department and told them, my husband suffers from mental illness. I need some help. And then at any given time, did they call for a mental health response team to come out and assist? Why? Why? You had ample time. You had plenty of time to call for a mental health response team to come out and assist you with this situation. Mr. Smith didn't have to die. But you killed him. The wife explained to you and told you, I just needed you to help me. My husband is going through a mental health crisis right now. Help me. Not kill him. She didn't call you to kill him. She called you to help. And at no given point in time did you call the mental health response team to come out. And you had ample time. The time that y'all were standing out there speaking with the wife, someone could have been on the phone calling somebody to come and assist with the situation. Mr. Smith's life didn't have to end on January 3rd. It didn't have to end. But this is what we're start. This is what we're seeing. This is exactly what I mean when I say police officers are not being. I just really feel like y'all shouldn't even go to these calls. I feel like the only time y'all should come is when you feel like there's an imminent threat. And I feel like that call should be made by the mental health response team. That's who I feel should make that call. I think there needs to be a designated phone number that is specifically routed to the mental health response team to come out. And I think once they get there and they assess the situation, I think they should make the determination on who, if they need an officer to come out and assist. But that's what I'm saying. And I'm only speaking as a person that suffers with mental illness, okay? I may not be bipolar or schizophrenic, but I suffer with a form of mental illness. Mr. Takar Smith's life did not have to end that day. I hope this video reaches the wife. I hope the wife sees this video because I want you to know, Ms. Smith, I'm on your side. I'm on your team. I'm here to advocate for your husband. I'm here to advocate and get the word out on behalf of your family as well as your husband. Because this shouldn't have happened. And we're seeing more and more and more and more stories and cases and situations like this. And the brother was correct. blacks, and browns. I've seen white people have these mental health crises and they leave unscathed. But when it comes to blacks and browns, it's a whole different situation, a whole different ending for us. Again, the young man, I want to say that was in Baltimore, who was bipolar and he was schizophrenic, whose wife, and I believe his mother had called, telling him, hey, we need someone to come out here. We need y'all to help us. And they say within 15 seconds of the police arriving, this young man was dead. But it was documented. It was heard on the 911 operator, on the dispatch call. You hear the wife telling you, it's documented that he has a mental illness. He suffers from bipolar and he suffers from schizophrenia. It was documented. So in that moment, y'all know this. Dispatchers, why are you not sending out a mental health response team? While the officers were sitting and speaking with Mr. Smith's wife, someone could have been on the phone calling, hey, we have Ms. Smith out here who's reported her husband is going through a mental health crisis. We need someone from the mental health response team out here. That's all it took. This situation could have been totally different had someone have called. Had someone have acted properly. Because Ms. Smith came to you and she told you, my husband suffers from mental illness. And right now he's in crisis. You didn't have to kill him. So to you, Ms. Smith, and to your children, God bless you. I love you. I'm praying for you. I pray that justice is served. I pray that these police officers are held accountable for the death of your husband. I pray that. I pray for you on that because it didn't have to go that way. You have a children without a father. You have a wife without a husband. You have a mother without a son. You have a brother without a son. You have loved ones without a family member. All because you guys didn't take the proper protocol. You guys didn't handle the situation properly. Where's the empathy? I'm not getting emotional, y'all. I'm not. Where was the sympathy? Where was the empathy for situations like this? Because Ms. Perez's life didn't have to end. Mr. Smith's life didn't have to end. Patrick Warren Sr.'s life didn't have to end. And the countless others. It's almost like if you suffer from mental illness and you're going through a crisis, don't call the police because you may end up deceased. That's what that feels like. Y'all are supposed to come and no empathy. No empathy whatsoever. These families are left to suffer. I believe this is part of the reason why people don't trust the police. I fear this is why people don't want to call the police for fear that death may be the end result. I have a feeling that this is why the law is not respected amongst the police brutality cases that we see as well. But your loved one. Mental distress and you're calling, I need you to help me. and you come and you take my husband away from me, or you take my sister away from me, my brother away from me, my mother away from me, all because you lacked the empathy and the compassion of a person that is dealing and battling with mental illness. So again, to the family of Miss Melissa Perez and to the family of Mr. Takar Smith, I love y'all. My thoughts and prayers are with y'all. I pray for peace. Most of all, I pray for justice. Because the police officers in Miss Perez's case, I hope they are convicted of murder, because that was cold-blooded murder. In Mr. Takar Smith's case, I pray that the police officer is charged, convicted, and sentenced, or officers, in the death of Mr. Takar Smith. I pray justice is served for both of these families, because these two situations did not have to end the way that they did. Both of these cases, both of these stories, both of these cities have a mental health crisis response team that could have been called in. But you officers chose not to do that. You chose not to. You know this. Y'all know. The police chief said no one called SMART, which is their mental health response team. No one called. That minute and a half or 2 minutes, whatever, however long it was, they were standing out there speaking with the wife. One of the officers that was on the scene could have said, hold on a minute, let's get SMART over here. Let's get them to come over here and assist us with this. Let's let them come over here and de-escalate the situation. We can get him calmed down. Maybe if we get him calmed down, he'll be less aggressive. And maybe we could do what we need to do. But no, y'all did not do that in any one of these situations. So now you have these families that are suffering. Now you have these two families that are grieving and mourning the loss of their loved one, because you police officers did not act responsibly in this situation. And I'm going to see. You did not act responsibly in this situation. And now you have two families that are grieving the loss of their loved one, when you simply could have called the crisis team to come out and assist. That's what could have been done. But y'all chose otherwise. And you have left these two families to grieve and pray justice is served in the death of their loved ones. That's what it boils down to. That's where it's at, ladies and gentlemen. That's what's the gist of it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But this is what's going on. People are going through these mental health crises. Police officers are called. 9 times out of 10, if you're black or brown, you may end up deceased. You may very well end up that way. And that's a bad thing. And I'm not wishing that. Let me clarify that. I'm not wishing that. But it's almost like you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. You call the police, you run the risk of somebody losing their life. But again, in these two situations, there was a crisis team that could have been called. Someone could have been called to assist. And I feel like, and I'm going to say this again, whenever it's a mental health distress call, I really feel like it's up to the crisis team to make the decision whether or not they need backup or otherwise. because these police officers acted very irrationally. And you had the means to call someone to come in and assist you. But you chose not to. You chose not to. So to the families of Miss Perez and Mr. Smith, I pray justice is served. My prayers go out to the children that were left behind, to the families that were left behind, to the families that are still, that are trying to pick up the pieces and move on the best way they know how. I pray for you. My heart absolutely goes out to you, and I will continue to advocate for mental health. I will continue to pray that the world will start looking at mental health seriously and not as a joke. I pray that they will start allocating more funds to mental health. Because again, these mental health crises are at an all-time high. The programs are underfunded, understaffed. I get it. But we have to do, we have as a community, we have to do better. As a people, y'all, we have to do better, especially when it comes to mental health. We have to. Or we're going to consistently see cases and stories like this every time. And this be the end result. So again, I firmly believe, I do not believe officers should be called in to handle mental illness situations. I just don't believe that they should. I feel like, again, if there is a crisis team that is available, I feel like that's who the call needs to be routed to, and they need to come out and allow the mental health crisis team to assess the situation and allow them to determine, yes, I need you to go ahead and send an officer out here. I need them to make the determination. That's just my opinion. Because we're seeing too many of these mental health police fatalities. We're seeing too much of this. We're starting to see the effects that mental illness has on police shooting fatalities. They're shooting first and asking questions later. They're not assessing the situation. They're not trying to de-escalate the situation. You're not trying to find out what's going on because you're too busy coming with your guns. Damn, they're already drawn because you get out of the car with your hand already on your gun. But if anybody's listening, if anybody's in politics or a higher rank in the office, somebody please get this to the higher ups and can we create and designate a line that is strictly for people to call in who may be experiencing a mental health crisis themselves or a loved one? Can we get that? I'm sorry, y'all. Can we get that in motion? Can we get that in every state? Can we get that allocated in every state, every city? Every police department, can we please have that? Can we get a crisis response team that can come out and assist when you are called out for a mental health call, a mental illness call? That's all I'm asking. What do I have to do? Who do I need to call? Y'all help me. Tell me who I need to call because I want to help these families. Because these situations should not end this way. So again, I do not feel like police officers need to be called in to handle mental illness situations. That's my opinion. I'm going to stand on that. I'm saying that with my whole chest. Some of y'all may agree. Some of y'all may disagree. But I'm speaking as a person that suffers from mental illness. And I'm not directed. Let me say this again. I'm not saying this about all police officers. but a majority of these police officers that are involved in the killing of people that are having mental health crisis. I think, again, there should be a designated phone number that we should be able to call whenever we need to report a loved one that's, hey, I need to speak with so-and-so. Yes, my husband, my wife, my girlfriend, my son, my daughter, whatever. I need someone out here. Can we get the SMART team out here? I believe that's what they're called in LA, which assists with people that are in a mental health crisis. I'm not sure if we have it here in Texas, but I feel like, again, that should be allocated to every city, in every state, in every police department. It needs to be a designated phone number where we could call. And where they send out a person that is properly trained and equipped to handle when a person is in mental health distress. That's just my opinion. That's what I feel. I'm saying that with my whole chest. I'm standing on that. So again, if this video gets to Mr. Smith's wife, if this gets to Mrs. Perez's family, just know I'm standing behind y'all 10 toes down. Whatever I can do to assist, I'm here. Whatever we have to do to pull together to try to get designated phone numbers where it's just strictly for people that are having mental health crisis, if you need me to be a part of that, a fight of that, I'm here. And this goes not just for those families, but the other countless families who have lost loved ones who are in a mental health crisis at the hands of police officers. So it's for you too as well. That's what we have to do. That's what we got to do as a people, y'all. So the last situation for the night is the aftermath. Where do we go from here? I think I pretty much just summed that up. Where do we go from here? We have to work as a community to where we have, a designated line that is only for people that are calling when them or their loved ones are experiencing a mental health crisis. That's where I think it should go. That's where do we go? That's where we go from here. We need to fight and we need to continue advocating for more funding to be put in mental illness. More resources need to be provided to the Black and Brown community. We see all types of resources for the white community, but never enough for the Black community or the Brown community. But y'all already know that any resources that I run across, I always post. Here you are right here. I have the African American and Black specific mental health resources. You have the Black Emotional and Mental Health Collective, known as BEAM, and that's BEAM. And you can find them at www.beam.community/B like baby, V like victory, T as in Tom, N like Nancy. You have the blackgirlssmile.org /resources. You have the Steve Fund. You have Therapy for Black Girls. You have African American Mental Health. We need to fight to have more funds allocated to these programs. That way we could get more resources. Excuse me. That way we would hopefully we can have less of these fatalities and more healing, more resolutions. That's all I want. That's where we go from here. But the only way that's going to happen is we as a community, we have to pull together and we have to fight for things like this. So whatever I have to do I'm 10 toes down in the game. I'm here for it. I'm ready for it. And that's where we go from here. We got to vote for these programs. We got to fight. Mental health is, I'm telling you, mental illness is at an all-time high right now. And we're seeing more and more people die for being mentally ill. And I don't know why. I just got to take a deep breath on that because I, again, y'all, I'm thinking all these cases that I've talked about. I'm so sorry. We're rolling into the final thoughts. I sit back and I look at these cases that I've covered, these stories that I've presented to you where people that are suffering from mental illness or in mental distress are dying. And we're seeing this far too often. These police officers. You say that they have extensive training to kill. Yeah, we saw in that little snippet of a video, he was calm for all of a brief moment. But again, you still had ample time to call for someone to come and assist that was properly equipped and trained for mental health. But you chose not to. The time that you were standing out there speaking with the wife. Let's even go back as far as when the wife walked into the police station. In that moment, somebody could have called the mental health crisis response team. Someone could have done that. And then let them come out and assess the situation and determine, do we need a police officer out here? We got to do better as a people. We got to do better as a community. Because mental health does matter. It does. Oh. Again, to the families of Miss Melissa Perez and to Carr Smith, again, my thoughts and prayers are with you. I pray justice is served in the death of your loved one. I pray that you get the justice that you so desperately seek and deserve. Because this should not, either one of these situations should not have resulted in death. Miss Melissa should still be here with her family, her daughter. Mr. Smith should still be here with his wife, his children, his brother, his mother. They should still definitely be here. Hugs and love to y'all. Whew. I made it through an episode, y'all, and I did not get emotional. I had to take a deep breath. I really, truly had to because it was a couple of times that I was getting choked up when I saw these videos because it's sad and it's sickening that we're seeing this happen far too often. Far too often. And these police officers are not being held accountable. And it's always blacks and brown. Unfortunately, but it's the truth. But yeah, another great episode in the bag, y'all. Gosh. Y'all know upcoming episodes for Black Girl Interrupted. So, because Tuesday is the 4th of July, y'all know I do not celebrate that holiday. So, I'm going to take that day off and go hang out with my kids that day. I'm off work, so I'm just going to kick back and relax. But Black Girl Interrupted will return on July the 6th, which is Thursday. And if nothing comes up, we are going to be discussing health, the health of Black women. And then part two will be the health of Black men. So Black Girl Interrupted will return next Thursday, July the 6th, 8:30 p.m. Central Time, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can always catch the replays on YouTube. If you missed the episode, you can always go back and catch the replays on YouTube. If you're not a visual person, you could catch Black Girl Interrupted on all the streaming platforms. Again, I am actually now streaming to Africa, y'all. I've been streaming in India now for a little over a year. I am streaming in Ireland, and I believe, I forgot where else I'm streaming, but I am streaming out of the country now. And I believe the last time I checked, I was ranked number 126, I believe. I'll have to go and double check, and I'll get the stats to y'all on that. But I owe that all to y'all, for y'all consistently showing up and loving on me and supporting me and encouraging me to stay consistent and stay on the path with my podcast. So I owe that ranking up to y'all. I'm hoping to move further up. Well, let me say this. Let me speak this into an existence. I'm going to move up. But again, I owe it all to the people that tune in, that hang out with me every Tuesday, every Thursday. I appreciate y'all. You know, I'm absolutely and greatly humbled that y'all pull up and show me some love, whether it's a comment, whether it's you sharing the post, sharing the video. I'm absolutely humbled by that. I appreciate that. Again, support is always free. Anything I do from the kindness of my heart. But that is the upcoming episodes for Black Girl Interrupted. Again, Black Girl Interrupted will not, I will not be here on July the 4th, but I will return July the 6th at 8:30 p.m., not Central Time, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, I will be speaking about health, women's health and men's health, and why it's imperative for us to go to the doctor, and what do we need to do to start taking care of ourselves to be in better shape, better health. We'll address that again next Thursday. Black Girl Interrupted will return July the 6th. So July the 4th, I will not be live. I'm going to utilize that day to chill out and relax and kick my feet up and maybe watch a little TV, maybe do some with my children. Who knows? But again, I appreciate y'all showing up for me every week. Again, I appreciate the interactions. I appreciate the people that share the videos. The episodes. I appreciate that. It does not go unnoticed. Again, I'm absolutely humbled. And couldn't ask for anything else. Again, my magazine article, my interview for the Women Who Podcast article will be out next month. The July issue. Again, I have another interview with a podcast that is coming up in August. And that will actually be live. I will actually post the link. Once I get the link and you guys can tune in live, come show your girl some love. Come show me some support. That's all I ask. Just, you know, tell me if I'm doing a great job. What can I do to improve? What can I do better? I'm always open for ideas, topics, conversations. Y'all know I don't shy away from any conversations at all. Again, here is the website. It is www.blackgirlinterruptedpodcast.com. You could always check the website for updates for any upcoming events. Or you could even post on there if there's an idea, if there's a topic you want me to discuss, if there's a conversation you want to be a part of, even if you just want to be a guest on the show. You can always go to the website, put in the inquiry box, and it will come directly to my email. Or if you want to just email me directly, the email is right here in the bottom corner. It is blackgirlinterrupted1@gmail.com. Let me know what your ideas are. You know, is there a topic you want me to address? Is there a conversation you want to that you want me to bring to the forefront? I do want to say I will be doing a part two on the murder of a G.K. Owens. That was the mother in Florida that was shot by her white neighbor. I will do a follow-up on that one week after next. I'll definitely keep you guys posted on that. And then I also need to check in because I know I believe there's been some developments in the murder of Tyree Nichols. That was the young man that was beat by the five Memphis police officers. I believe there's been some updates. So I definitely want to bring that to y'all. So I think that's what it'll be. I think I'll just do one episode where I'm just recapping and just bringing y'all any updates and keeping y'all in the loop of what's been going on with a lot of the stories that I have brought to you with regards to these police brutality cases. But again, happy Thursday. I hope each and every one of y'all has a beautiful weekend. Stay safe. Again, I don't celebrate the 4th of July, so whatever you do, please don't tag me or post anything on my page with regards to the 4th of July because I do not celebrate that holiday. What else do I want to say? I am going to start getting back active on TikTok. And you can follow me under the same name, Black Girl Interrupted. Again, I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter. Come show your girl some love. Show your girl some love. Like I said, share this episode or any other episodes that you feel may be imperative to someone. Share it. That's all I ask. But on that note, I love you guys. Again, I will see y'all next Thursday. So a week from today, I will be Black Girl Interrupted. We'll be back on July the 6th. Again, July 4th. I will not be going live. I will not be doing a show on that day. That's going to be my day where I relax. So I can mentally prepare to go to work that Wednesday. But I will see y'all next Thursday. Again, happy Thursday. Again, I hope everyone has a beautiful weekend. Stay safe, you guys. Anyone that is celebrating the 4th, y'all be careful out there in the streets. It's crazy. Anyone in New Orleans for the Essence Fest, y'all have fun. Be safe. Be careful. And I love you. And that's it. But again, thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of Black Girl Interrupted. You guys, again, I'm absolutely humbled. I can't say it enough, but I appreciate your loving support. And again, I will see y'all next week. Have a good weekend. Bye.